John chapter 3. Look here at verse 18. John chapter 3 and verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to teach and preach, and I pray that for your help today. I pray that you'd help me to rightly divide your word. And Lord, I pray for your blessing and power upon this service. Lord, use me in a great way. And Lord, you know the need of every heart that's here today. And I pray that you'd meet that need. Keep a hedge around us. Keep us safe. Help those that are traveling to be safe. And Lord, I just pray for your blessing. We ask these things in Jesus, your precious name. Amen. This morning I'll be preaching on you are either forgiven or you're condemned. And I'm talking about those that are of age, right? So it's not you think about a little baby. If a little baby dies, that little baby will go to heaven because they haven't hit the age of accountability. But you think about every single person in this world that is of the age of accountability, right? And you think about those that are a sound mind. If someone was born and didn't have a sound mind, you know, in their minds, they're still like a little kid, right? But you think about everyone that's of age. The reality is this, you are either forgiven or you're condemned. There is no middle ground. You're either forgiven or condemned. Because if you see in that verse what he says, but he that believeth not is condemned already. I remember hearing one time, and I thought it was pretty interesting. If you think about people that are lost people are similar to someone that's on death row. The reality is they're already condemned. They're just waiting for their judgment to be carried out. They're sitting there in that prison waiting. The last pardon has gone through and said, nope, I'm sorry. And they're just waiting there, right? And ultimately to go to the electric chair, wherever it is. And if you're here today, or you're on the phone or online, and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are condemned. That means you're guilty. If you die today, you will go to hell because you're condemned. And I want you to think about that today, because the reality is I don't want you to be condemned any longer. You can be forgiven. Amen. You were on death row, and the reality is you're waiting for that judgment, and a pardon came. And the reality is you accepted that pardon, as in accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do you know that even though that there's people that are on death row, that they can be pardoned? You know, Mark, they don't have to accept it. I believe there was a time in history, I can't remember, I thought it was in the 1800s, there was someone, I don't know if it was the president or a governor, can't remember, there was someone that was on death row that was dying. That person, the president or the governor, can't remember, pardoned them and they rejected it. You can reject it. You may say, why would you do that? Well, that's what people do by not receiving Jesus Christ. He wants to pardon them, forgive them of their sins. And we live in a world today of so many people that are condemned. They can be forgiven, but they must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see, as you go back to in the first part of John chapter 3 and verse 1, I want to talk about that today, forgiven or condemned. As we go back to John chapter 1, and we pick up here at verse 1, we're going to see here was a man named Nicodemus. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jew. We could see here the Bible tells us who this man was. He was a ruler. That means he was a teacher. He was a guy who taught other people. People came to Nicodemus, right? And he would teach them. At that time, they had the Old Testament. He would teach them the Old Testament scriptures. But I want you to see this man that was very religious.
A Pharisee was someone that they would try to keep the letter of the law, but the reality is they weren't righteous. They were trusting in their works. Someone that's pharisaical, that's what they do. They're trusting in their works. And the reality is, you know, Jesus did not condemn them for trying to keep the law. But Jesus condemned them. Why? Because they were hypocritical and they rejected him. A lot of the Pharisees got envy of Jesus. The reason they got envy is because they looked at him. They didn't see him as the Son of God, as God in the flesh. They just looked at him as a prophet and saying, that's what I want. I want people to look to me, right? Now we see Nicodemus, that was here, and the Bible says in verse 2, and he came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. That word rabbi is talking about his master, right? So as he came to him, he came by night because he didn't want other Pharisees, other people to see him. So here was, he came to Jesus by night, and as he found Jesus, he told Jesus these things. He must have been observing Jesus' life, and he saw the miracles, and he's like, that just doesn't make sense. How can he do those miracles? It just doesn't make sense in my mind. How is he doing that? Because he didn't see who he was as the Son of God. And he asked him that question in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Here it is, Jesus knew his heart. Can I tell you, God knows what you're thinking, Mark?
Oh, that's not good.
Joe, God knows everything that you're thinking right now. Diane, everything that you are thinking, everything you have thought, everything you will think. The reality is, God knows. I have had people come to me and say things to me, and a part of me is thinking, is that really what they want? What is it that they're looking for, right? It's kind of, then after a while, you may say, stop beating around the bush. Will you just tell me? Here was Nicodemus. He told to Jesus and said these things to Jesus. And the reality is, the Lord answered what was on his heart. Why he came at night. Why he didn't want to see other people to see him going there as a Pharisee, as a ruler. He wanted to kind of keep it secret. He didn't want anyone to know what God already knew. And he tells him that you must be born again. Verse 4, the Bible tells Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He didn't understand this concept. Born? Again? What do you mean by that? He's like, you know, I'm an older guy, right? And do I have to go back into my mom? What does... This doesn't make sense to me. Now let's go back and think. He's a Pharisee. He was someone that was supposed to know the Old Testament law. And he was teaching other people. It amazes me sometimes that people have come in and to visit. And they'll sit there and be like, well, I enjoy your preaching. Some stay, some people don't stay. I guess they don't enjoy it too much, right? And they leave. And a lot of times, you know what they'll say is, you just preach from the Bible. And I scratch my head and I'm like, well, what are they doing? Amen. If they're not preaching from the Bible, what are they doing? Amen. And here it is. You think about it, Nicodemus asked that question to him. And you have to sit there and think just for a moment. Bob, he's teaching others. What is he teaching them? If he doesn't know the most basic thing about salvation, what are you teaching people? How are you helping people? The Bible tells us, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell from hence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? So here was this man that came to Jesus who was a Pharisee. He was someone that was supposed to know the Old Testament law. He was a teacher. He was teaching other people. He had in his heart, he knew there was something missing in his life. He knew that he didn't have salvation. He knew that he wasn't forgiven. Every single person that's born into this world has a God-given conscience. And that God-given conscience will tell them there is something missing in your life. And they'll try to find fill that hole that's in your heart that only Jesus can fill with other things. Some people go to medicine, some people go to drugs, some people go to all kinds of things, but it will never fill that hole that only Jesus can. And as Nicodemus came to Jesus and told him these things, we could see Jesus told him. He said in verse 5, he says, "Except a man be born of water." Now, some people take this verse and they take it out of context to try to justify baptism. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Because he clarifies in the next verse, that which is born of flesh is flesh. When you are born, you're in your mother's womb and there's water. And you know what happens? That water breaks. Born of water, right? That which is flesh is flesh. And that which is spirit is spirit. What Jesus was describing or explaining to Nicodemus was this. There is a physical birth and there's a spiritual birth. They are different. Baptism cannot save you. Now, God does want you to get baptized after you get saved. It's you're telling the world that you are born again and you identify with Jesus Christ. You are not the same person as you were. But here it is when he explains that. He says, except a man be born of water. What he's saying is, you got to be born, right? There's a physical birth and a spiritual birth. He says, marvel not, I say unto thee, you must be born again. Why? Because you can't go to heaven on your own. What that verse we read at the beginning? It says you are condemned. The Bible tells us that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means we are all guilty. So whenever that age of accountability is, I don't know what that age of accountability is, and you hit that age of accountability, now God's going to hold you accountable for your sin. And because you're accountable to your sin, the Bible says we have a sin nature. You don't have to be taught how to sin. You already have a sin nature. Your sin nature will already tell you how to sin. You don't have to teach a baby how to sin. Baby already knows that, right? You teach a baby saying, don't do that, right? Don't pull someone's hair, right? Baby will sit there and pull your hair and laugh at you. You know, they have that sin nature. They don't understand that, that it hurts you or whatever that's there. They may bite you or whatever. You know, they don't know. They're just acting up. But whenever they hit that age of accountability, the reality is now they are condemned. They're condemned. What is that age? Well, every person is different. And because you're condemned, because the Bible says for the wages of sin is death, what that means is when you die, you'll go to hell. Hell was not made for you. Hell was not made for me. Hell was made for the demons and the devil. God doesn't want anyone to go there. You may say, how do you know that? Because he sent his only begotten son. He doesn't want you to go there. Matter of fact, God doesn't want you to go there. You think about for a person to go to hell, think about it, they have to reject God. They have to reject God's love. They'll have to reject the mercy of God, the grace of God. I mean, they have to reject that God is drawing people to him. And what is it? They reject it. And the reality is, you think about it, every single person has a choice. You either receive Jesus Christ or you reject him. And here is, he's explaining this from the scripture. He's saying, hey, aren't you a teacher or a master of Israel and knoweth not these things? It amazes me that those who are very religious don't understand the most important thing of how to be saved. And they'll go around and teach people. And they may have a following on YouTube or whatever is out there today. But the reality is they do not know God. And all they're doing is they're leading people away from salvation. And here it is, Jesus is confronting Nicodemus and saying, don't you know these things? This is the most important thing, right? Salvation. If you don't have salvation, you're going to hell. Don't you understand this? Folks, can I tell you, you think about it as a believer, how blessed we are. That our eyes were opened to the truth. And we understand how to go to heaven because we received Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful, awesome privilege, but an awesome responsibility to tell others. Because people in this world, most people are lost. They don't know it. I remember the church that I came out of when I was in Bible college, that the pastor's wife, she grew up in the holler, probably. And anyway, she was a farm girl. And, you know, she didn't know too much, right? I think it may have been West Virginia, but I could be wrong. But anyway, as she was growing up, her brothers used to tell her all kinds of ways to go to heaven. What they were thinking must have been the way to go to heaven. They would say, you do this or do that, or you got to do this. Because they didn't know, right? They're back in the hollow, right? And in their minds, they had no clue. And I remember her giving her testimony one day that she prayed. And Jesus said, I can't remember the exact words, but it was something like, God, I know you're real. Will you show me the way? Will you have someone to show me? And in time, I think she was going to get her driver's license, or I can't remember. But as she got in the car, someone left a track that was in the car, or somehow she got a track and that was in the car, and she started to read to her who Jesus is, why Jesus came, and how Jesus died on the cross for her sins and was buried and rose again. And I can't remember if it was that day or just down the road from that where she realized it's not some crazy way to go to heaven. It's God's way. And she received Jesus Christ as her Savior and she was born again. Can I tell you, there's a lot of crazy things. When I was growing up, when I was a little boy, a lot of times, do you ever see when the sun is out? Praise God, the sun's out today. Maybe it'll melt some of that white stuff that's out there. But it goes through the clouds, and you see the rays that come down that's there. When I was a little boy, Miss Alma, I always thought that meant people are going to heaven. Because it was like, I don't know, maybe I was having Star Trek, Beam Me Up, Scotty, or something in my mind or whatever. But I would see little rays there. I was like, whoa, you know, must be someone going to heaven because the sun rays that came down. No. That was the sun shining through the clouds. But as a little boy, that's what was in my mind. Whoa, they must be going to heaven over there. Folks, can I tell you the way to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. I want you to see, look here at verse 11. Jesus then explains to this teacher, this man who should have known salvation. Now Jesus is going to explain to him the way of salvation. Look here at verse 11. Verily, verily, that means truly, truly, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Here it is, our Lord, as he's talking to him, he's saying, hey, we, right, himself, probably his disciples, that he has sharing the gospel with others that are lost. He's saying, we're telling you the way of salvation, but you won't receive it. So you don't have to be blind to this Nicodemus, you know, as he was God, like the Son of God. He had others out that were sharing the gospel. He's saying, hey, we've been telling you the way of salvation. You just haven't believed us. In verse 12, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So again, that's kind of a reference back where he says that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. He's saying there's a difference between a spiritual birth and a physical birth, right? So he's trying to get Nicodemus to realize to go to heaven, it's not a physical thing, right? There has to be a spiritual birth. Verse 13, and no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Right there is pretty clear to tell you that Jesus Christ is God. He left heaven, came down, right? So he's explaining it. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven, right? Hey, God left heaven and came down to be born of a virgin for you. And as Moses was lifted up in the servant, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now most of us, when you go through that portion of Scripture, you probably could have quoted John 3:16. The reality is, you could probably quote it, you've probably been taught it for a long time, and it's just in your head, right? For God so loved the world. You already know it. It's sometimes during the sporting events, I'll see someone in the background holding up a sign that says John 3:16. It's been a long time since I've watched football, but I remember watching football a long time ago. When they would get ready to kick a field goal, that's there behind those goalposts. I remember seeing there was times someone holding up a sign, John 3:16, that's there. Have you ever seen that? Anyone? Yeah, that's there. But you know, most of us know John 3:16, right? But the reality is this, if you don't know what's before John 3:16, the concept of it, the details of what he's saying, people can get confused on this matter of salvation. Now you have to remember, Nicodemus was a teacher. Nicodemus truly understood, or phrase that, Nicodemus knew the Old Testament scripture even though he didn't know God. He taught those stories, those true accounts in the Old Testament. So when Jesus told Nicodemus, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Nicodemus could remember that story. Because if he didn't remember that story, I believe that Nicodemus would have said to Jesus, similar to what he said in verse 4, how can a man that is born is old? If he didn't understand that story, Bob, he would have looked and said, what do you mean, Moses lifting up the serpent? See, this wasn't a new thing to Nicodemus. He heard that story before. He knew what it meant. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Numbers 21. Numbers 21. In Numbers 21. In verse 5. Numbers 21. So when we look at John 3:16, we get it. But don't forget about that verse before it. And as Moses was lifted up in the servant, or in the wilderness. Look here, in Numbers 21. In Numbers 21, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. In Numbers 21, the Bible says in verse 5, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And God sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of the Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the servant for us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if the servant had bitten any man, when he beheld the servant of breath, he lived. So that Old Testament story, when Jesus told Nicodemus, even as Moses lifted up the servant in the wilderness, Nicodemus was fully aware of that. He could go back to that story in his mind. He could say, you know, what happened? It was the children of Israel that sinned against God. And when they sinned against God, God said there's a consequence or a judgment for your sin. And that sin, when they got bit by that serpent, was death. And when Israel got, they sinned against God, they got bit by these serpents, then they started to die because of their sin. And then they got to the place they realized there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. We got bit. We're going to die. And they go to Moses and say, Moses, help us. And Moses prayed, and God told him what to do. He says, hey, you take a servant, brazen servant. Brazen is a picture of judgment. You take a brazen servant, you put it on a pole, and you tell them, anyone that got bitten, you look, and he said, you'll live. As Moses lifted up the servant in the wilderness, even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. See, in the Old Testament, what happened is they rebelled against God. Because of that, there was sin, there was a consequence, there was a wage. What was that? Death. And the way for them to be healed of that was they had to believe what God said in His Word. They had to look. That was it. They had to believe, and if they believed, it caused an action for them to look. Now, if they got bit and they did not say, I don't believe it's that way, can't be that easy, and Diane, they never looked to what God said, they would have died. Didn't matter what they, you know. God made the way by what? Not works, but by faith. Even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And that's what salvation is. When you think about it, for God so loved the world, what is it? You've been bit by sin. You chose to sin. We're guilty. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. You know what that means? You're all going to die. But as God lifted up that servant, was a picture of judgment, God has lifted up His only begotten Son to die on a cross on a pole. Brazen means judgment. And for you to be saved, that means you have to admit to God that you're guilty, and you look to Him, believing that He died for you, was buried, and rose again, and He'll save you. When Jesus told Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the servant in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be. Nicodemus understood that. He knew that Israel was guilty. He knew there was a judgment. He knew they couldn't be saved by their works, that they had to believe what God said, and there was a substitute. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted. Folks, when you think about John 3:16, a lot of times people will think of John 3:16, but it's the verses before that will try to explain, show you're guilty, show there's a judgment, and shows you there's a Savior, and that's who Jesus is. Folks, if you go back here to John chapter 3, in John chapter 3, when He told Nicodemus those words, Nicodemus understood it. He didn't accept the Lord that day, but Nicodemus did get saved later. But anyway, we could see that. And the interesting thing is, as we continue on here, I'll have to wind down here shortly. In John chapter 3, look here at verse 17 through 18. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Think about it. God, our Lord, was explaining to Nicodemus, but also explaining to all of us that you have an opportunity. God's not here to cast you into hell. You choose to go there. But He's given you an opportunity. He's given you a way to be forgiven. You would think about everyone in the world when they hear this story of how a Savior left heaven, came down to be born, to be our substitute, to pay our sin debt, to die on the cross, was buried and rose again, that you can be forgiven of your sin. You would think everyone would love to hear that story. You would think people would be so excited to hear that. I don't no longer have to be condemned. I can be forgiven. I no longer have to pay for my own sins. Jesus paid for my sins if I'm willing to receive Him as my Savior. You would think everyone would be so excited to hear that message. Mark, are they excited when you tell them? If you tell them? Not always is true. You ever wonder why? Why? Our Lord tells us here, as you continue to look in verse 19, and this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Do you know what the Bible tells us? Do you know why people don't accept Jesus Christ, accepting a substitute to be forgiven instead of being condemned? Because they love their sin, Bob. They love darkness. Now, they may not tell you that, but that's what it is. They love their sin. They do not like the thought that it's God in His way. Nope. I'll go to heaven my way. I'll have my own religion, right? They love darkness. And a matter of fact, what is it? They won't come to the light. Why is it? You think about this Bible will convict people. Someone that's lost that picks up this Bible and truly will read it and say, I want to know. You know what happened? It'll fall. You will be convicted. And people don't like that. You know? People don't like it. People will try to justify their sins. I have had some times in my life where people have tried to justify their sins to me. And then after a while, I think the one guy told me, hey, let's not use Bible. Oh, so then we got nothing. Amen? It is God's word. You know, he tried to justify drinking. And I said, well, what does the Bible say? Well, I said, well, you already know. You know? But they don't want to bring the Bible in. Why? Because it condemns them. A lot of times when you have someone that wants to debate, that's what they'll tell you. Let's not bring the Bible into it. You know why? Because they cannot debate it. They know they're guilty. And that Bible shows them the light. And you know what that means? It gives them a mirror of themselves. And it's like, whoa, I'm guilty. And here is, God is telling us the reason why people hate Jesus Christ. The reason why people hate this book is because their deeds are evil and they love it. They don't want to be told that. They don't want to be told that you're a sinner. Nah, I don't believe that. I'll just keep, you know. Because they love their sin. People love their sin. And the reality is, God made salvation simple. Then anyone can be saved. A child can be saved. Someone that's on their deathbed. You all can be saved, right? By faith in Jesus Christ. But the reason people won't be saved is because it's not because of God. It's because they love their sin. And the reality is, if they really thought about that, their sin makes them miserable. They're not happy. They're not comfortable, right? Here it is. He's telling us, light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want to be told that's wrong. No, it's okay. I remember a time I was witnessing to a man, and as I was witnessing to him, I was trying to share. He's like, I don't want that. You know what he told me, Mark, when I was leaving? He told me, he says, I will never give up my Budweiser. I don't think I said anything about drinking to him like, you know what I mean? Stop drinking. To the best of my knowledge, I never said that, right? I told him when I got saved, I don't drink, right? I'm saved. He said, I'll never give up my Budweiser. That's what he said. You know what it is? He loves his sin. That's what it is. He loves his sin. Others will be like, I ain't giving up my drugs. What is it? You love your sin, right? I'm not going to give up my television to a show that I watch. You love your sin, right? I'm not going to give up my pornography, right? I'm not going to give up my whatever it is, right? Well, the reality is, if you try to, quote unquote, get rid of all your sin, you know, try to work for salvation, you can't work for salvation. You just have to see that you're guilty. When you turn to Jesus Christ, you admit that you're guilty, God will clean you up. Reformation is not going to save you. Reformation will make you miserable. But what we see is God gave them an opportunity, a chance. And when you get saved, then what happens is what's in verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the life, that his deeds may be made manifest. They are wrought in God. Someone that truly believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens? They don't mind coming to the light. They don't mind coming to church. They don't mind reading the scripture. You know why? Because God is working in them, through them. And you know what you see in their life? You'll see righteousness. I didn't say holier than thou. I didn't say that perfection. But you'll see a life that's different. Why? Because they've been born again. Let me ask you this morning. Every single one of us at one time were condemned. The question is, are you still condemned or are you now forgiven? Praise God if you're saved, amen? And if you're forgiven, that means this. You accepted the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. You are born again. And because of that, now your life will manifest and show others that God's word is true. That's why you don't mind coming to church. That's why you don't mind reading the Bible. That's why you'll come here and listen to preaching, even though sometimes I step on your toes. Not physically. At least I hope not, right? But I step on your toes. Why? It's through preaching. You just keep on coming. Why? Because your life will manifest it. You're either condemned or you're forgiven. Nicodemus was a very religious man. Nicodemus knew the Old Testament. Nicodemus was teaching others. But can I tell you, Nicodemus was lost. He was condemned. God didn't beat him over the head. But God did tell him the truth. And made Nicodemus think, what am I teaching people? And later on in Scripture, you'll realize that Nicodemus believed what Jesus said and accepted him. And Nicodemus today, when you die, you'll find Nicodemus in heaven because he realized, I can't work for it, but I can look and believe in him. And that's what he did. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach and teach, and I pray that this message was a help and a blessing. I pray that it would help us as believers realize what you have done for us, you have forgiven us. And we would think about the wonderful opportunity, the privilege, responsibility to tell others and help us to tell others. And Lord, I pray if there's one here on the phone or listening online later that's still in their sins, they're still condemned. Lord, I pray that they would look to you, that they would see themselves as a wicked old sinner, have that repentive heart, that they would turn to you believing that you were their substitute, that you died, was buried, and rose again. And they place their faith in you and you alone and allow you to save them, that they could be born again, that they no longer have to be condemned, but the sin debt could be paid in full by you. I pray, Lord, that if there be that person, they would make it known. We give you this invitation. Pray, thy will be done. We ask in Jesus' precious name.